today we read the calling of Matthew. That says, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of a Pharisee, or however you say that name.
Yeah.
That was his dad. Call him Pops, the son of Pops. Yeah. Sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. As I heard that reading on Monday, I was struck by the four apostles that were called. And I was struck by the fact that, thinking about these guys, and for the last couple of years, I've done a lot of, when I read about them, I did a lot of thinking about them, because they were just fishermen. And we know that Peter was a real knuckleheaded guy, you know. And what we have to remember is that they didn't have a clue who Jesus was. You know, they didn't know until Pentecost who he really was. When you read it up until Pentecost, they still, even though he was resurrected, they still didn't really get it, you know. Which, that's a sermon in itself about only by the Holy Spirit do we understand anything of Scripture, because it opens up the Scriptures to us. That's the way God intended them. But sometimes we forget about who these guys really were, that they were just, you know, simple guys, fishermen, some of them just normal guys. Peter I liked the most because I can identify with him, you know, being a knucklehead and opening my mouth, and my mouth should be severely shut, and saying stupid things. And then doing stupid things, like, you know, like, so yeah, if y'all knew how many times I wanted to cut off somebody's ear, you'd be shocked. Me and Peter. You know, thank God we don't run around with swords in our hands. We just run around with a sword that's in our mouth, our tongue, and all. But in the calling of all of these guys, and even in the, when we read of the calling in the New Testament of the apostles, all of them, what I was struck with is that they were not very spiritual people, you know. They weren't intercessors, you know. They weren't prophets, you know. They were just average walking around guy. Matthew, you know. Well, Matthew was one of the smarter of the guys because he was a tax collector, so he at least knew how to add and subtract and how to steal without getting called, apparently, because that was the reputation of tax collectors. So these were just people like me and you. Except they were they had one real difference. They didn't know. But we as Christians, we know Jesus. We should know him in a way that they didn't. In the charismatic world, there's two things that charismatics are famous for, in my opinion. Both things are things that drive me absolutely crazy and all. And the first one that maybe you haven't ever done this, but been in a conversation with a charismatic, and you're talking to them, and they don't really like what you're saying to them, you know, and so they pull the get out of jail card that, well, God told me. Really? Well, as a young Christian, I used to fight with that one, you know, and if I'd had a sword, I'd have cut their ears off, because it's craziness. You know, this is just a get-out-of-jail-free card most of the time. Because after 70 years, or 50 years, I've been a Christian, kind of a Christian some days. Better Christian other days. Sometimes not a Christian at all. Because I did have a period in my life where I walked away from the Lord. But what I've seen with that is that most of the time, I didn't tell them that. Because the proof is in what works out. And the other thing is not so much a word that charismatics are fond of using, but it's how they address an issue of ministry. I don't know how many charismatics, and some of my very closest friends have been waiting on the Lord. They feel called, and they're just waiting on the Lord. Some of them waited so much they went back to school and got educated. But they're waiting on the voice, they're waiting on the Lord to call them. Although they feel called already. So, well, you know, I feel called that God wants me to do this thing here, whatever that would look like, you know. Minister to women's, minister to alcoholics, minister to drug addicts, minister, 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 and I'm just waiting. And then go back to school. That's not the example of the New Testament, guys, at all. Show me that. We need to be less educated, maybe. And I'm not against education, but sometimes the more educated you get, the dumber you get, you know, about things of the Lord. And Rich would know, because he's now Rich is probably the most highly educated guy in the room here. So But he deals with it because we use education as an excuse to not do what we know in our heart we should be doing for the Lord. And so here we got all these uneducated guys, except Matthew had a little education, okay? Luke, he had a little education because he was a doctor, but I'm not sure I would want Luke being my doctor in today's concept of medicine. Because it's pretty primitive back then. And if you've ever been to Africa and saw primitive medicine at work, it'll scare you to death. And then, of course, we have the Apostle Paul, who was educated of all things. Have you ever thought about what his education really was? He was educated as a Pharisee to be what? An interpreter of what? The law. And he was so dumb, God had to knock him off of a donkey. In saying all of that, is these guys were so far ahead of us for some reason that when Jesus called them, they just simply responded wholeheartedly. They didn't go, oh, well, I got to go get a degree in Christian counseling or Christian whatever you do now. Or I've got to wait till I hear him tell me. Well, he just did. So here's the deal. Do you feel like God's called you to a purpose, to something? And that doesn't mean that you're called to be the next Billy Graham or Bill Johnson or whatever, or anything. It just means that you feel like God told you somewhere along the line, follow me in this, whatever that is. That might be being a parent, being a housewife, being a husband, a father. That might be your calling as a Christian. But you also might have another calling that you're avoiding because you don't feel capable and you don't feel worthy. You don't feel like you have the abilities and all. And you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. None of us are worthy, and none of us are capable. And very few of us have any idea what the heck we're doing. And those are us. And I'm talking about clergy now. Okay. We're just kind of like making this stuff up as we go along sometimes. Yeah, just like, okay. Yeah. But the thing is that my prayer for you is quit not doing what you're called to do, whatever that is. Step out in faith and trust God that it's not it's not you, it's Him. And let Him do what He does through you, whatever that looks like. Just simply respond. Now, again, I want you to think about these guys. Now, I grew up in a fishing community as a teenager. So I was around fishermen, commercial fishermen and stuff. Mullet fishermen, shrimpers, those kind of guys. And I've been around when they've been mending nets. And it can be very interesting and colorful around those guys. Because either they're like happy as all get out because they caught a lot, or they're depressed because they didn't catch enough. And they're mending nets right there with each other on the deck of a boat and stuff. So the conversation can get rather interesting, but it's always colorful and all. So think about that. These guys were not very spiritual, but yet they got called. So I don't know how any of you been like in a place where you felt like you were getting somewhere, like you'd been like maybe praying for the last day or maybe the last week or whatever. You kind of got a handle on this intercessory thing or whatever it is, and you're feeling good about yourself and all. Have you ever been in that position, and we all have, and really feel like God called you? And most of the time when I get in that position, God doesn't call me for something. God kind of pushes me off of a cliff to get dealt with about something because I'm strong enough to deal with it. I'm not going to just quit. Most of the time when I have felt the real call of God in my life, it's when I've been pretty much at my worst in my eyes, And I'm going like, you're kidding. No, you're kidding. You can't be serious. Why would you call me, of all creatures on this earth, the most messed up, gooped up, knuckleheaded, clueless person in the world? So quit waiting for this great spiritual moment is what I'm trying to say. Quit trying to create an atmosphere or a moment when God speaks to you. When God speaks to me, it's usually like, hello. Yeah. Hello. But we need to respond to that. We need to quit playing these God cards of, well, God told me, or, God's called me and I'm waiting now. If God called you, there's not a real waiting. If He called you, He called you. Like when I call somebody because I need somebody to do something, it's like you know, like George or Ricky and Lauren, like, if I call them because I need something done, it's like I call them and go, hey, can you come, you know, and do this? Yeah, he did yesterday. All the pipes are leaking or whatever's happening. So when God, if you feel God's called you, and he has, because he does that, respond. This is what the, you know, I mean, what you could, I could condense this word down to that one word. Just respond to that call. You know. Now, of course, don't listen to the lie of the enemy, which I have friends that have listened to this lie. They were called to ministries and all, and the when I've talked to them about it, and they're like, well, I'm waiting. And I'm going, well, what are you waiting for? And they're like, well, I'm waiting for God to open up the financial blessing so that I can do this, you know. Rhonda's involved in one of the greatest ministries in the 20th century, Teen Challenge. Thank God that David Wilkerson didn't wait for a board of directors and financial blessings. If you've ever read this, how many's read the story of David Wilkerson starting? Yeah. Well, for those who don't, the short version is he felt called, oh my, and so he went to New York City, and he was Pennsylvania? He was a country guy in a little country church in Pennsylvania. So he drove from there to New York City, didn't know anybody whatsoever, and slept in his car. Now, anybody with any sense whatsoever, and everybody that ever met him told him that was really the stupidest thing you could ever do. Because he killed people in New York City that did that. But he felt called, and he responded to the call at the level that he could respond to in that moment, and look what happened. So don't use that excuse of that, well, I'm waiting for God to open the door. Well, maybe just walk through the door when he calls you and see where it leads to, find how it leads. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.